It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsten.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. And I have back with me Bob Gilpatrick, who's looking very dapper and debonair this morning. For those that might be a first-time listener, or maybe you have not heard Bob speak before, he is one of the co-owners of Boomers Forever Young, and he's also a certified heart center therapist and certified holistic nutritionist. And what we're going to be talking about today is the molecules of love and desire. And I think that ought to get a lot of people's interest out there. It's certainly not close to Valentine's Day, but most people are interested in love and a healthy love life 100% of the time, I think. So welcome back, Bob.
Thank you. Thanks, Lucy. This should be really fun.
Good to see you again. I think so.
So, yeah, when we talk about molecules of love and desire, it's important to be able to understand some of the chemistry, because as people look to improve their relationships and improve their love life, if you understand the chemistry of it, you can take specific actions that will then allow you to make positive benefits for your love life. So it's good to know that testosterone is involved, which of course is a molecule. It's a steroid type molecule.
Right.
And both men and women have testosterone. People think of testosterone as a male hormone, but women's love life is dependent highly on the right amount of testosterone.
Testosterone, right.
And also estrogen and progesterone, and then neurotransmitters like serotonin and oxytocin and norepinephrine are all involved. And then the molecules of energy, because love requires energy. All of the metabolic pathways that are involved with the sex hormones and the neurotransmitters are all driven by the production of energy in your body. And without that production of energy, none of those other things work.
Will happen, right. Yeah. So you think maybe on for some people who are biblical scholars, you know, when God said go out and multiply, that he understood all of those things about neurotransmitters and serotonin levels and testosterone? Or did he just think that he had made us, or she had made us, in such a way that was like, it's all going to work?
You know, I never quite know if God just created the universe with this immense energy. Some people say the energy of love created the universe.
That's true.
With a humming sound, a loving humming sound, and everything else just kind of manifested from that.
Right.
I don't think God planned out every detail of every neurotransmitter, but the intention was there. And by creating the lattice or the matrix with the love and the harmony, the law of attraction brought the rest of the physical universe together to fill God's intention, is the way I look at it.
You know, this is just a tiny little detour off of that topic, but for those people who love cats, and there's a lot of people that are cat lovers, cats purr to show their love and contentment. And I just read, and I thought this was phenomenal, that when a cat is purring and on your lap and showing you that kind of love that cats can show, that your bone density improves. And that's on a vibrational level. So I am thinking what you just said is absolutely correct, that we are all vibrating energy. And if everything is going to work for us, then having the molecular structure because of eating the right foods and doing the right things to keep us healthy just improves your love life.
Absolutely. And it's different, you know, for people that are falling in love for right at the beginning of meeting a new person that you've fallen in love with, your chemistry is much different than people that have a lasting love.
Right.
And when people are first falling in love, they tend to have high cortisol levels, which is your stress hormone. And new love does create some stress, and they also end up having a higher norepinephrine level, and that's associated with the feeling of joy, okay? But it also modulates your appetite. And so sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, I've fallen in love. And one of the things I've noticed is I can't eat. I don't feel like eating. I'm so in love, I can't eat. And that's because of the norepinephrine that's raised. Mm-hmm. But then also your serotonin level tends to go down. And when serotonin goes down, you end up having preoccupying thoughts. So,
such as?
You're going to have preoccupying thoughts like, I can't wait to get to back together with the person, right? So you have this phenomena where you fall in love with someone and you didn't know you were going to fall in love with them necessarily. This comes about and happens. And then at the moment that you get separated, you now have this whole new emotion that didn't exist before because you hadn't met the person yet. Okay. And now you have this new emotion, which is now I'm away from them. And so now my thoughts are preoccupied with getting back together. I don't want to be apart from you for one minute. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is what happens is serotonin goes down and this happens. But at the same time, it helps to stimulate thoughts of hopefulness. So people that are new falling in love tend to feel very hopeful about life in general.
You know, that's pretty interesting on my personal level, because I remember many years ago when I met my husband, I was living in St. Louis and he was in Chicago. And Ozark Airlines, do you remember that airline?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they had an airline war at that time. And it was only $50 round trip to fly from St. Louis to Chicago and back. So round trip. But I do remember for that year and a half that we were seeing each other, that we were always apart during the week. Sometimes it was 2 weeks. But we would anticipate getting back together again. So I think long-distance romances have that anticipatory quality to them, you know, based on what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, when people are in new love, their dopamine levels become very high. And dopamine is involved in addictive behaviors.
Oh.
So just like people can become addicted to cocaine and alcohol and sugar, mm-hmm. you literally can become addicted to love. So as your serotonin and dopamine change, you're going to get the same types of chemistry in your brain as if you were addicted to a drug. So it's very powerful. These new loves are very, very powerful.
Right. But then as time goes on, for an awful lot of people, I would say that quality lessens to some degree at least. And so what do they, you know, for let's say the majority of people out there that have the new love syndrome, and then as it begins to maybe wane a little bit after a couple of years, what do they do to maintain or bring it back to a level that's just comfortable?
Right. Well, first of all, what happens as you have a lasting love, a love that mm-hmm. will last and turns from this passionate love into compassionate, caring love, mm-hmm. your neurochemistry changes, right? Mm-hmm. And so both your cortisol levels, your stress levels, and your serotonin are going to return back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the same time, you have vasopressin and oxytocin, which are more molecules of love, are going to begin to increase. And so this is a very natural thing to have happen, is for this to move like this, right? And so what do you do in order to be able to have a balance of both is the whole idea, right? So how do people talk about, how do I maintain the passion in my relationship?
Right.
I've been married for 16 years.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So there's a lot of different things that you need to know in order to do that. And one of them is you want to pay attention to your energy level, right? Uh-huh. Because low energy levels will have a dramatic negative effect on your passion, right? Uh-huh. For a lot of specific reasons. So if you have a low energy level and you're feeling depressed, you are going to be not that great of a companion, and it's very unlikely that you're going to have any type of passionate, you know, desire, right? And so
you'd be falling asleep on the couch.
Yeah, you'd be falling asleep on the couch, and more than one separation has occurred from people falling asleep on the couch too often. Mm-hmm. So in order to keep your energy level up, you have to know a few things. Number one, you have to know how to produce energy in your cells. So energy is produced in the mitochondria of your cells, and it results in a molecule called ATP, which is your molecule of energy that stimulates this electron transport chain. Mm-hmm. And in order to have your mitochondria functioning properly, you have to have the right nutrients, right? So your mitochondria can burn carbohydrates and protein and fat for energy, but in order to do it, you better have enough coenzyme Q10. Uh-huh. You better have enough vitamin B1, B3, B6. And if you don't, this metabolic pathway that churns out this ATP will get bogged down. It'll get slowed down.
And those are the people that are falling asleep.
Right. And so you need to make sure that the nutrients that you take, the nutrition supplements that you take, contain coenzyme Q10 and vitamin B1, 3, and 6, knowing that they're involved in the Krebs cycle.
Mm-hmm. Right? And it's not really enough to say just eat a healthy diet, because we don't know whether or not those particular vitamins are in the food that you're eating.
Most likely they're not. Most because of the depletion of our soil and the poor quality of our food, there's less than 5% of the people in the United States can get their nutrition from food.
So shopping around the perimeter of the store is not necessarily the answer.
No, because that food was still grown in depleted soil. Mm-hmm. So you do need to make sure that you're taking in supplements. It used to be that people could, that lived out on farms back, you know, in the turn of the century, back in 1900, most people lived on farms. Mm-hmm. And when they started moving to the cities, you had the Industrial Revolution and the invention of the light bulb, people started moving to the cities. And at that point, they were not getting food that was fresh off of the farm. They were getting food that had been shipped from the farm to the city. And that's when the population started to rise, and that's when the soil started to get depleted. Mm-hmm. And so it's very difficult to get that. So you need to be sure you have the right nutrition supplements to do that. And there are certain other compounds in nutrition supplements that help with your circulation. So circulation to your brain, circulation to your peripheries, is really critical. And there are certain compounds like arginine, which helps to dilate your blood vessels, mm-hmm. Which can be taken in a nutritional supplement, and also phosphatidylcholine, which is a compound that helps make up the cell walls, mm-hmm. and helps make your cells very elastic, which allows for really good blood flow.
I got a question for you, because mm-hmm. so many people that I speak with, men, by the time they're 45, maybe because of blood pressure issues, get on a medication that causes them not to be able to get an erection anymore. And so nutritionally, can you override that? I mean, or do you have to get them healthy enough to get off of blood pressure medication in order to make that happen again?
Well, it depends. Some people are very adversely affected by the medication, mm-hmm. and they do have to be able to get off that medication. But in almost every situation, that can be accomplished. Mm-hmm. So it's not really an either or. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone can either get off their medication or at least cut it back a substantial amount so they're no longer having the issue.
Right. Because it seems like, I mean, as a family therapist, one of the things that I was up against with so many couples was just that, mm-hmm. is the health of the man had deteriorated to a point where lovemaking was impossible. You know,
right.
Really. I mean, they could be close, right. but they weren't able to have that component. So it seemed to me that, you know, you were damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. You needed to be on the medication to lower blood pressure. Otherwise, you were looking at strokes or heart attacks, and at the same time, your relationship was going out the window.
Yeah, these are the people that need to be on a really good holistic health regime so that they can restore themselves back to a younger age.
Right.
And that is absolutely possible in this day and age. You know, here in 2019, we have the technology to do that. You can have someone who is, you know, old and crumbly, as the Brits say, and you can restore them back to a much, much younger age where they can perform all the things they did when they were younger.
Which is amazing when you stop to think about it. It really
is. Yeah, there's the technology now exists to slow down your rate of aging to the point where if you also restore your rate of repair back to when you were younger, that you actually can get on top of the aging process and your body will begin to act much younger. You'll look younger, you'll feel younger, and you'll perform like you were much younger.
Right. Yep. Well, I think there's hope for males and females along those lines, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that's really critically important is exercise. And there's lots of studies on exercise and sexuality. And exercise changes your hormones, changes your hormone levels.
In what way?
Well, when you exercise, your body tends to produce human growth factor, and it tends to also increase testosterone, and it reduces stress. And so by reducing stress from exercising, what happens is that your cortisol levels become lower, and it leaves more of the top part of the hormone cascade for producing sex hormones. So cortisol, unfortunately, is in the same category of hormones as testosterone, estrogen, and the like, right? So at the top of that cascade is pregnenolone, which is made from cholesterol. And the pregnenolone then splits into two sides. And on one side is your andro, DHEA, testosterone, estrogen, free testosterone. And on the other side is progesterone and cortisol. So if you're under stress and your body needs lots of cortisol to deal with the stress, this is part of the stress response, it steals all the pregnenolone from the top of the cascade. There's very little left to make your other sex hormones.
Oh, my goodness. So as an example, again, you know, for listeners, if you have a stressful job or if you've got a ton of financial stress, or maybe you're in that sandwich generation where you've got children still at home that require a lot of time and energy, and maybe aging parents on the other end requiring a lot of time and energy, then your sex drive is definitely going to be impacted.
Yes, your sex drive will be impacted, and also your lifespan. So people that are under a lot of stress because their caregivers are aging much faster than people who are not and die at a younger age. So managing the stress of being a caregiver is really important to do. But also, you know, with exercise, makes it much more likely that you're going to be at your ideal body weight. And your body mass index is very closely correlated with sexuality. So you feel more sexy when your BMI is where you want it to be, and other people perceive you to be more sexy. So a lot of people are obsessed with looking sexy, which you don't need to be, but you just need to know that if you are somebody whose BMI is too high, you're just going to have additional challenges, and some of the techniques we'll talk about later will become more important.
More important, right.
But in regard to exercise, there's two tips that I have in this regard. One is, when you exercise, do what's called peak eight, meaning P-E-A-K, like the peak of a mountain, and the number eight. And the way it works is, if you are a walker or you ride a bicycle, what you want to do is, once you've got warmed up for about 5 minutes, you want to exercise as hard as you can for 30 seconds.
Oh, just 30 seconds.
Right.
Really.
And then slow down and pedal your bike or walk slowly for the next 90 seconds.
Okay.
So this is a 2-minute repetition, right?
Okay.
30 on, 90 rest. And then you repeat it. 30 fast, 90 slow, 30 fast, 90 slow. And you do this 8 times, which makes it a 16-minute exercise.
Okay.
Now, this is the exercise that's proven to have the biggest effect on your hormones.
So somebody who is walking a mile, you know, and most people walk more than that, but if they did that within that mile, they would have the 8 rotations.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you probably won't need to walk quite a mile to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to do. If you're going to go for a 5-mile walk, at some point during the walk, do peak 8.
Mm-hmm.
And you only need to do it once and only every other day.
Really?
So it's not
so
this,
it isn't
you
know, even that
you don't
much
even
of
have to do it every day. Your human growth hormone levels are going to rise by over 600% when you do peak 8, and it's going to last for a long time.
That's amazing.
Right.
That's
real.
And because that's not that difficult to do.
No, it's not. And then the other thing is motivation techniques,
mm-hmm.
right? So we'll talk later about the emotional freedom technique and how to use that for
mm-hmm.
motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one really great motivation technique that can work for almost everyone. And there were studies done on corporate fitness and wellness in
mm-hmm.
numerous corporations. And they tested different types of motivation for people because the companies had a readiness to believe that if you exercised more, you'd be healthier, you'd use the healthcare system less,
mm-hmm.
and their premiums for the corporate health insurance would come down.
And I'm sure that turned out to be true.
It did in some cases.
Oh.
And what they found was that the risk of losing something that you already had was much higher than the enticement to get something you didn't already have.
Oh, so then their stress
level went up. So what they did was they did a comparative observation study with many corporations
mm-hmm.
where the study was if you exercise this amount of time during the week, you earned this bonus, okay? And then the other group was given their money for the month. They're like, okay, here's your money. But if you don't meet the goal, we're taking it back. The people that had the fear of loss exercised the most.
I would think so.
And their stress came down because they exercised.
Sure.
So they might have experienced a little stress where it said, oh my God, I'm going to have to give that money back.
Right.
But then it motivated them to exercise. Okay, so here's how you do it for yourself. Get $31 bills and put it on your kitchen counter right next to the trash can.
Okay.
And exercise every day for 30 days.
Okay.
And every day that you don't exercise,
you
have to throw that money in the trash can.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of people that struggle with that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you
That's
really
the
know, yeah,
right.
if you really know you want to do this. Now, I know people that have taken $25,000 and given it to one of their friends and said to them, I'm giving you this money and I am going to lose 30 pounds in 3 months. And if I don't lose those 30 pounds, you keep the $25,000.
And that person is praying that they lose the bet.
They're friends. They're hoping
yeah, right.
they don't. They're hoping they have to give the money back.
$25,000 is a lot of money.
Right. And so this is a new way that people are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very real. It makes it much more real and acute and in your awareness
mm-hmm.
than just like, yeah, I think I'm going to start an exercise program.
Sure.
And, oh, by the way, the hockey game's on tonight.
Right.
And so I'm not going to be exercising.
Exactly.
Well, if you knew you had to throw a dollar in the garbage, would you maybe put your sneakers on and go out and exercise before the hockey game?
Right.
Maybe. Okay.
Well, I'm also thinking that, you know, for the person where a dollar, 30 bucks at the end of the month is going to make a difference. But for some people, they might look at it and say, hey, I can lose a buck.
It doesn't matter. The act of throwing money into a garbage can
is what does it.
Is what does it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So here's another aspect to relationships and love and desire that I have found over the years is probably the most successful thing that people can do as they graduate from this passionate love into a compassionate love. And I call it the two magic questions, right? Mm-hmm. And the two magic questions are, what are the most important things for you about blank, either love or sex, okay? And then the follow-up question is, to the answer they give you, what exactly would have to happen in order for you to feel that blank is being accomplished, right? So mm-hmm. let's go through that. So imagine there are a husband and wife mm-hmm. are talking, mm-hmm. and they agree to do this type of questioning. And
okay.
very rarely does this happen. And as a result, quite often couples are never on the same page, even if they're married 50 years.
I would bet that is very true.
Quite on the same
right,
page.
Right.
So if, for example, the husband says, okay, I'll go first and ask the question, and says to his wife, what are the most important things for you about love? Mm-hmm. And the response you might get back is, well, I would feel loved if we had more romance. And kindness is also really important to me, mm-hmm. and also spontaneity. So, and that's it. The person answering the questions doesn't go into any detail at this point
of what those words mean.
Right.
Okay.
And then you'd say, okay, so here's where you repeat back. I want to make sure I've got this straight. What's most important to you about love is romance and kindness and spontaneity. Yes, and there's one other thing, right? Now, that quite often happens. But you don't paraphrase and you don't try to interpret at all. Mm-hmm. It's a beginning of a step that says, we're on the same page. You said this. Mm-hmm. I've repeated it back to you. And we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're building a yes set. Yes, I understand. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
And so then, because we're talking today about love and desire, the next question is, what are the most important things for you about our sex life? And the answers come back might be something like playfulness, kissing, big one comes up mm-hmm. like that,
mm-hmm.
Warmth, and vulnerability. Okay, so these are some of the things that might come up. And so now the partner answers back, I want to make sure I've got this straight. What's most important to you about sex is playfulness and kissing and warmth and vulnerability. Yes, that's correct. Plus one more. Right?
Another one more.
I also like kinky.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, okay, we're adding that one in. Okay. And so now becomes time for the second question. So see, now you've built this yes set.
Uh-huh.
By repeating back exactly without paraphrasing, you're developing congruity, connectedness, and agreement.
An agreement.
Okay. And so then you ask the question, all right, so in regard to love, what exactly would have to happen in order for you to feel like there's romance in our life? What exactly would have to happen?
So there you're asking for clarification.
Now we're asking for clarification. Mm-hmm. So the answer might come back from the woman that says, you know, I would like it if you would once in a while, a couple times a month, call me up from work and say, hey, sweetheart, would you like to go out on a date tonight?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going out on a date, and then as you pick me up to go out on the date, you bring me flowers.
Okay.
That, to me, would feel like romance. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the other party might go, okay, I've done that before, but she wants more of that. Okay, so now here's your answer. If you're sincere about doing this and creating more connection,
mm-hmm.
your answer is, okay, I can do that.
So you're in agreement.
I'm in agreement. Okay, I can do that. I can take you out on a date every couple of weeks, a special date, and bring you flowers. So matter of fact, I think I would feel really good about that. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to do that. I'm sorry I haven't done that more in the past. Okay. So now you're building this understanding. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now the second one is, so what exactly would have to happen in order for you to feel that I was kind? Okay. And so now you go on and you go to the next one. What would have to happen in order for you to feel I was spontaneous? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you can go to the next part and you say, okay, so in regard to sex and playfulness, what exactly would have to happen in order for you to feel that I was being playful and allowing you to be playful? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so now it has to, now on sometimes people have these amorphous kinds of ideas. More playfulness would be nice, but they don't actually know exactly what that would look like.
Right. And it forces them to really become right. a little more concrete about right. it, so the other person knows.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Okay. So, and you want to go through each of these things. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done, okay, now you get to switch roles.
Now, okay. Has anybody maybe taken some notes? Because I'm also thinking, you know, you and I have good memories. We're like right. elephants, I think.
Absolutely.
But notes. But yes. I'm thinking that as the person is listening, it would be good for them to write down those key words.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep. Each person should have a notebook.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And then when both parties are finished with this, mm-hmm. okay, this is a really good thing because now we have more information. And what's really good about it is you've got it written down, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And then if there's a breach of this new connection and mm-hmm. understanding, mm-hmm. you can point it out. Hey, do you remember in April when we did this and you were going to take me out on a date every 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
It's been a month now.
Yeah. And right. you said you would.
Right. Okay. Right. You know, in fact, you said you were looking forward to it.
And you were going to bring me flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take carnations, please. And it's going to be this Thursday night.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So this is what's good because then you build this understanding between people mm-hmm. so that there's no guesswork. Mm-hmm. I never knew that you really thought we should be going out on a date, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But now here's the key thing. If you do the two together, the love and the sex, mm-hmm. okay, then date night can involve both.
Yes.
All right. Because the understanding is there.
Right.
So what is the smart person going to do on date night? Yeah, there's flowers, but guess what else there's going to be? Kissing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And really treating that person as you are on a date.
Yeah, with kindness.
Not just we're heading over to Burger King to grab a quick bite.
Right, with right. kindness, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So here's how you can make sure that that's going to happen,
right.
that part. So when you're done with the exercise, you're going to do what's called soul scanning.
Right? Oh, okay.
So this is where you're going to sit across from your partner, and you're going to close your eyes and do what we call a head circle.
Okay.
Also called the ultimate mind calming exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And a head circle is when you breathe out all of your air to start, and then you take a sharp breath in through your nose while you rotate your head in a circle up to the top. So you're looking straight up on an in breath, right? And then you're going to breathe out on the way down mm-hmm. and make a full circle, turn your head all the way to the side, right? And then you gently shake your head from side to side at the bottom. So it's
almost like you're saying no for those that are not able to see.
Shaking your head no,
so
with your head dropped
head
down.
Head dropped down.
Okay? Okay. And what it is this is a signal to the universe mm-hmm. that you're letting go of your head. This swinging from side to side is a letting go. I'm letting go of my head. And so then the next step is cross both hands across your heart
mm-hmm.
and take a deep breath in.
Mm-hmm.
And while you let it out, drop your hands down onto your knees with your palms facing up
okay.
and drop your chin down to your chest.
Oh, that's okay? tougher.
And the reason is this is where you meet your heart, where your head meets your heart. It's where Lucy meets Lucy. Mm-hmm. And in that place with your chin down, having done this head circle and having just touched your heart, because mm-hmm. energy goes where you touch, mm-hmm. right? And intention goes. Mm-hmm. Now you have gotten into your heart and out of your head. And mm-hmm. you're more heart-centered. Mm-hmm. And both parties are doing this at the same time, both people. And then when you're done, you open your eyes and you look into each other's eyes in this state of no mind, okay? Because this head circle has caused your mind to stop. You're no longer thinking, but you're in your heart. And so your soft emotions, your oxytocin, right, has welled up. And when you gaze into your lover's eyes, the intention just is to connect on a heart level, okay. to connect. Now, things might come up, feelings of love, maybe even a question, maybe something else you wanted to add to your list, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's a deep connection that's mm-hmm. been facilitated by this mind-calming exercise. Mm-hmm. So you're now moving out of the brain, which created all these questions and answers, mm-hmm. and you're anchoring this new information with a heartfelt sense mm-hmm. of this soul scanning with nothing going on in your mind. Okay?
Right, because I, and I'm going back into being a therapist here for a second, but I'm just thinking of all of the different people I worked with for so long. I wish I had had that exercise for them to do, because usually it's a defensive posture if they're in their mind, because, you know, you said, you did, you didn't do, those kind of things are going on in their heads, and they're not in their heart center. They're not receiving right. at that level. And by getting out of your head and saying no to that, and yes to your heart, then you're in a receiving mode, as I would understand.
You're in a receiving mode, and you're also giving, but you're in a giving of mm-hmm. love
of
mode.
Love mode.
Right?
Right.
Right. And so the reason that this is good is, for example, now going out on the date, mm-hmm. okay, one of the things that you can do, right, when you first pick up mm-hmm. your partner for the date, is you can take 3 or 4 minutes and do mind calming and soul scanning to start the date.
Right, right. So you're in the right place.
The flowers are beautiful and they smell great, mm-hmm. but it's nothing like soul scanning.
True.
And now you're on a real date that facilitates, guess what? Romance, mm-hmm. which was the stated desire mm-hmm. right back at the beginning.
Right, because that's what they were okay. looking for, was to have more of that. And so yep. now they're hearing one another, receiving that love, giving that love, but hearing mm-hmm. it at a different level than just a word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's the whole idea, is to get into your feelings so that a feeling is created that meets a need.
Mm-hmm.
And the need is for more romance, mm-hmm. but it's very difficult to create more romance if the feeling is not there.
Right. And again, you know, so many times I think the feeling is you're not giving me what I need. And so there's anger, there's disappointment,
right.
there's all kinds of other negative emotions which are rolling
right.
around inside the head.
Right.
So with saying no, you know, that shaking of the head. Again, mm-hmm. people can't see this, but, you know, if yeah. you think about a child saying no and having mm-hmm. their head down, it's that appearance. It's that look.
Yeah. People can see a demonstration of it on our website if they want
okay.
to.
Okay. So if they wanted to go to boomerboost.com and go yep. to videos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And look for the ultimate mind calming exercise.
Okay.
Okay.
And this would work probably with anything, I would think, where you want to
right.
be understood and
right.
maybe heard.
It works very well with workplace situations.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the most important things for you about this job you're applying for
mm-hmm.
in your work life?
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel respected. I want to have flexibility, da-da-da-da-da,
mm-hmm.
on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can use it as a person who's being interviewed or a person who's interviewing. So if you're the person being interviewed, you can ask the interviewer those questions. What are the most important things for you about new employees?
Hmm.
What should I always do and what should I never do?
Good.
Yeah?
That's really a good point, because
right.
I'm sure that there are a number of listeners that are either considering a new job or, you know, maybe thinking that they should be looking for a new job. And so that's part of that process, is thinking about what's important to me too. You know, what am I looking for?
And that's when it's real important to write things down. So if you're going to say at the end of the interview, what's most important for you about a new employee? They're going to say reliability, punctuality, teamwork. So you write them all down, repeat them back verbatim, and then you say, what exactly would have to happen in order for you to feel that I was reliable, that I was a team player? And you write down those answers, and then you repeat that back. Right. And in the case of an interview, you're not going to do this quite like this in the case of a relationship. In the case of an interview, you can reply back at that point. Thank you very much for explaining this to me. I can do all of those things. I can do all those things. And one thing you'll know about me as you get to know me and you look back a month from now or 6 months from now or even 6 years from now, that you found that you could always trust me in regard to these important things. Future pacing. So for little tip for people going on a job interview, but but back to the love and desire, there's another really, really cool exercise that gets right to the heart of the passionate sex part, right? And so what we just covered was how to amplify the long-lasting, compassionate love in your relationship. And we talked a little bit about the sex. But what can you do to really, really give a jump start to that fresh passion that you had when you first met? And this is a technique from NLP called a swish pattern.
It's called what again?
A swish pattern.
A swish pattern. Okay.
So this works really well. And a swish pattern goes like this. So you want to be able to hold images in your mind that you can toggle, that you can go back and forth between. Okay. So if you're a person that wants more passion in their life, more passionate sex, the first thing you're going to do is hold a picture in your mind of what's not working.
Really?
Right. Because we're going to create clarity through contrast. Right. So what's not working? So you want to make this picture in your mind of boring, you know, unpassionate sex and a date that's boring and unpassionate, and just kind of go into that picture and then make it worse.
Okay.
Make it worse.
I'm again going back to a lot of families that I used to see, but you know, the guys that would say, well, she just lays there.
Right. So make it worse. So make it that they're not just lying there, but they're actually criticizing you.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
All right. So this kind of thing.
Okay.
If the room is too dark for your liking, make it even darker. Okay. So these, and you want to make this into something that's
worst
really
case
bad.
Scenario.
Really bad.
Okay.
But then put that picture aside, right? Open your eyes from creating this image, push it aside, and decide to create what you really want. The passionate, wonderful sex you had when you first met. Okay. And you want to do the same thing in the opposite direction. So you make a picture of that, and then you make it better. Okay? So use your own imagination on how you want to make it better. Make things brighter, bigger, longer lasting, whatever it is, with intense love and gazing and panting or whatever. Okay? And now you're going to stop, open your eyes again. You've got both of those pictures. Okay? So now what you're going to do is you're going to imagine that up in the corner of the room, there is a giant slingshot.
Okay.
And the picture that you created, which is the one you really want, you're going to imagine it inside a spherical translucent ball. And you're going to put that ball in the slingshot.
Okay.
It's so that when you pull back this slingshot, that ball can move towards you.
Oh, okay? Interesting. Okay.
So now what you're going to do next is you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to pull up that old picture, the one you don't want. And you're going to bring that into your mind with all of its negativity and feel it. And then look up to the corner of the room where this beautiful picture is inside the slingshot and look at it and notice all the incredible things about it and then let go of the slingshot. And you want to imagine that ball is racing towards your head and it's going to slam into your head and obliterate
the other one,
the other picture.
Right.
And then at what you'll notice is the only thing left once the slingshot hits, the ball hits you from the slingshot is a residual, like cascading of all the wonderful feelings that are associated with the ball in the slingshot. The reason it's called a swish pattern is you can use the word swish or whoosh when you let go of the slingshot. So put the bad picture in, put the good picture in the slingshot, let it go and make a noise. Swish, boom, just hit my head. Wow. And the feeling that you'll get by doing that is going to be that excited, exuberant feeling that you had way back when you were having passionate sex.
Right.
And now you feel like that. So this is a technique that both people can do. You can do it together, side by side. And once you both have that cascading feeling done, once this is finished, it's going to take you 5 to 7 minutes to do it. Then with that feeling that you have, stare into each other's eyes. Okay? And then fall into each other's arms. Okay? Swish patterns work really well for stimulating passionate sex.
You know, the thing that, again, I'm kind of imagining to myself, all of the women that I used to see that were reading romance novels. And that's what they were actually doing, is they were creating these beautiful images in their mind of what they were reading on the page. And so as they would imagine, you know, that, you know, Prince Charming, so to speak, was taking them into their arms and, you know, they were falling into a bed that was covered with rose petals. That was what they wanted. You know, so they were doing a swish and didn't realize they were doing a swish from what they actually had. And of course, their husbands are sitting there dozing in the chair or watching sports while she's reading the romance novel, and they couldn't be further apart.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yep. So this takes these are the creative techniques that you can use, but they're not easy techniques because they require time and concentration.
Exactly.
So the first one we described with the magic questions is probably going to take 15 minutes for both of you to get these things out. And the swish pattern is going to take 5 to 7 minutes. You're going to have to follow along, re-listen to the recording of the show and do it and practice it.
Right.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Yep. Wow. So I have one more technique.
Okay.
So this one you can do just simply using the head circles or the ultimate mind calming exercise. And the way that it works is you're going to use this one with gratitude. Okay. And so you can do this. This is a technique that is going to allow you to custom design the passionate experience you are about to have with your partner.
Okay.
So people talk about foreplay, and foreplay is usually physical, but in this case, this is going to be more of a visual and spiritual one.
Okay.
And so, and this one's going to take a little bit of practice, and the more you use it and the more you change it up, the better it works. So it goes like this. So you have both people sit across from each other, and you're going to perform your head circle.
Okay.
And the idea is to get out of your mind
into your heart.
And then you're each going to, you're going to hold the other person's hands while you do soul scanning. You're going to look into each other's eyes. And while you're doing that, each person needs to say one thing that they're grateful for about the other person in relation to the moment. Not, I'm really grateful you did the dishes last night. Okay. What are you grateful for about me in the moment? Okay. So the woman might say, I am really grateful because you take such great care of your body, and it makes me feel very respected that you would take such good care of your body for me so that you look strong and sexy for me. And I'm really grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Right? So then the man might say to the woman, what I'm really grateful for is how you spend extra time in your makeup section of your makeup room, making sure that you look really, really beautiful for me when I meet up with you after we both come home from work. You will do this for me because you really want me to notice how absolutely beautiful you really are. Okay? Things like this, right? Okay. And so this is kind of a hint about the types of things to say, right? Mm-hmm. And it can, and then if you're really enjoying it, you can say do more,
okay? More than just
more than just gratitude. One, right? But to get started and to make it easy, do your head circle mm-hmm. and say one, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And then see what happens to your merging of passion and compassionate stages of love and desire, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you want to do this consistently. So you want to do it again the next day, mm-hmm. and again the next day, and again the next day, because you are stacking things you're grateful for about the other person, one on top of another on top of another. Mm-hmm. And the more that you stack those things, the more aware you become of your appreciation for the other person. Right. And so you're not going through the day on a mundane type of basis, just kind of getting through the day and your relationship ends up becoming subdued.
Right. I you know, again, I'm kind of processing as you're talking, but I think this whole concept of mindfulness, which I just did a couple of weeks ago, gratitude is a big thing right now, you know, just understanding that sensation of feeling gratitude towards a person. It's new for so many individuals. They don't even, because their parents never said anything about I'm grateful for in most cases. And so, yeah, I'm just that whole understanding of the little things that add up into this huge sensation of being grateful for the other person that's in your life.
Absolutely. Mm. And the gratitude part can be enhanced. There's a really great device called Inner Balance from the HeartMath company. Mm-hmm. And the Inner Balance device helps develop this. Mm-hmm. So it's a little device that you clip to your ear and it has a transponder that communicates to an app on your cell phone.
Now, I know I've mentioned that a number of times on the show because I have one and I love using it. And I've taught others, you know, that I'm working with, you know, how to be aware that they're in their head and not in their heart. But if somebody wanted to order an Inner Balance, they can go through Boomers, right? They can go to the website, but then does it take them to...
Takes them right to the HeartMath company.
Okay.
And the HeartMath Institute has all kinds of information when you land on their website.
Okay.
Really great. They're only $159 and it's a one-time purchase. It's mm-hmm. a permanent thing that there's no like... Reorders
right? from it, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's one device that's really amazing. Mm-hmm. There's another one that is really good for people's physiology in general, which is a device that uses PEMF, pulsed mm-hmm. electromagnetic fields. Mm-hmm. And the PEMF devices that you can also get through us are a device that's a mat that's about 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. You put it under your mattress pad, mm-hmm. and it's hooked to a power supply that puts out pulsed electromagnetic fields. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it increases your circulation, right?
So we Which talk, is everything.
Right. So by increasing the circulation to your entire body, mm-hmm. you not only are going to be healthier in general, but it's going to help your sex life, right?
Right.
And so there's also attachments that you can plug in to the power supply, which are specific spot applicators, mm-hmm. right? So you can actually take this small pad and drape it over your head, and it'll help with your eyesight and your neurotransmission. And there's another device that looks like a circular spot that you can put PEMF pulses on varying levels into all parts of your body. Very, very interesting
so
device.
Low back pain, you could mm-hmm. put it on your low back, or if you had yep. a knee issue. Mm-hmm. So I can hear that somebody's out there with our topic today saying, well, can I put it on mm-hmm. my sex organs?
Oh, yeah, you can, and people do, and it increases okay. circulation.
And so maybe somebody won't need to take Cialis.
That's correct.
Or Viagra, or right. something like that.
Right, okay. exactly. So now there's one other device, which is really, really interesting. It's called a Fisher-Wallace stimulator.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, a Fisher-Wallace stimulator helps in many different ways. One is that it can be used to treat both depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning, we talked about if someone was depressed, they weren't going to be able to be much of a partner.
Mm-hmm.
This is a device that can help with depression. And it's FDA approved for treating depression.
So is it covered by insurance? Because I can hear some people saying.
In some cases it is. It,
mm-hmm.
it costs less than $400.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need a doctor's order for it.
Mm, okay.
And you can either get that through the Fisher-Wallace company or your own doctor.
Okay.
And it's FDA approved to put these little pads on your head with a headband that wraps around. So the pads are about the size of a quarter, and they can... And they're sponges that you wet. And you put the sponges on the sides of your head, and you put a headband around, and you turn the device on, and you run a very mild electric current through your brain.
Hmm.
And you can't feel it. The electric current is below threshold. Mm-hmm. So you actually turn the device up till you feel a slight tingling, mm-hmm. and then you turn it down so you can't feel anything.
Okay.
But the effect is occurring, and it's amping up your neurotransmission.
I was going to say the neurotransmitters right. are improving, which is exactly what antidepressants do.
Right.
Except this doesn't have the side effects
right.
that a lot of antidepressants do.
So what it's doing is it's increasing the potential, the electrical potential in the synapses in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it easier for neurotransmitters to jump from the supply cell over to the receptor.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have neurotransmission. Okay. Now you can also, that's side to side on your temples will help treat depression, but putting it front to back on your occipital bone and the middle of your forehead
mm-hmm.
will treat anxiety.
Very
and anxiety, especially in regard to inability to perform sexually, the anxiety makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so quite often, if you can negate your anxiety
mm-hmm.
using inner balance and or a Fisher-Wallace stimulator,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you have your anxiety's gone away and your performance comes back.
Right.
Okay. And so the Fisher-Wallace stimulator is very valuable in that regard to treat those issues. But in addition to that, when you put the Fisher-Wallace stimulator on your head, okay, and your neurotransmitters change, so does your feeling of sexuality.
Because the anxiety is right. gone. So now the anxiety was like a blanket on top in a way.
Yeah. Not only that,
mm-hmm.
but the specific neurotransmitters we talked about earlier, like oxytocin mm-hmm. and vasopressin, mm-hmm. those are going to increase
mm-hmm.
independent of the anxiety
oh, okay.
because of the added electrical potential in your brain.
Okay.
And your brain becomes much more sensitive and much more attuned and much more aware.
Mm-hmm.
And this awareness and this tuning sensation helps in every area of your life. But when you are in a sexual situation, that's the part of your life that it improves.
That's really very fascinating, because your third eye is where your intuition is. And
mm-hmm.
for those that had listened to a much earlier show, and we talked about chakras,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's where all of that is too. So,
yeah,
as you become more in tune with your partner,
mm-hmm.
then that works on certainly
yeah.
improving your love life as well.
Exactly. And you can use all these devices together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so imagine you're lying on your PEMF mat
mm-hmm.
with one of the applicators on one of your sex organs,
mm-hmm.
and you have your Fisher-Wallace stimulator hooked up to
mm-hmm.
your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your inner balance device hooked up to your ear.
Holy cow. There's a lot of people that are going to go, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, on that note, I can see that the show is kind of coming to an end, but I've loved having this discussion about molecules of love and desire. I know you'll be coming back again in the future, and we'll have to think about what is part two maybe of this particular topic, because this is one that impacts everybody. You know, from the time you're a baby, you're a sexual being. And I would hope that you are one until the day they put you in the grave. So a lot of people sort of at age 65 or so say, well, my best years are behind me, but they don't have to be.
That's right.
Absolutely. They do not have to be. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. You can go to my website at synergyconnectionradio.com. A lot of the things that we've talked about today, the inner balance is there. If you want information on the PEMF mat, you know, please contact me. I'll make sure that the right person calls you back that can give you a ton of information on that mat and what it can do for you. And if you do mention my name, Lucy, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code for any of the products, certainly a lot of the Boomer products are going to help you live that healthier life on a physical level as well. So go out there and make it your best day. Thank you so much. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Lucy. My pleasure.
All right. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Synergy Connection Show. If you wanted to know more about the products Bob spoke about on today's show, please go to synergyconnectionradio.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y connectionradio.com. Click on the Boomers Vibrate a New banner on the homepage. Use promo code Lucy, that's L-U-C-Y, at checkout to save $5 on your order. Don't forget to tune in next week to the Synergy Connection Show.